Hey, what's going on, everyone? It is Brian, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. This one comes from a different location than normal. So currently, I am in the wonderful New York City, and I'm here in order to build MiniCorp or grow MiniCorp into New York. So we've had like a really, really successful growth into both Ireland and into Europe as well. Lots of wonderful, great companies being built and wonderful ideas coming out of that, and really proud of how the team has executed and the work that we've done. But I've noticed that there is a huge opportunity in New York. And that opportunity surrounds the fact that if you are looking for engineers or design or any kind of digital product related talent, it can be very, very difficult to find them here. And if you do find them, you have to pay them a substantial amount of money in order to acquire them. And then you also need to, you know, retain them for large periods of time as well. People here, it's completely a employees market where they're looking for the right positions, the right jobs, the right visions in companies that they can grow with. And I think that gives us in MiniCorp a huge opportunity where we leverage the current work that we've done and the track record and everything that we've built in MiniCorp over the previous years and products that we've built in order to absolutely hit the ground running here as hard as we can, find as many great companies that we can help build and grow in the same mentality, but leverage our track record in order to, you know, start to get early prospects, early customers, and grow the business from there. So in this episode, what I'm going to do is to run through how I've come at this problem. So the overall goal that I want to get to is to build MiniCorp into New York. And these are the main different steps that I've broken down to in order to achieve that goal. Let's jump in. Where, oh, where to start? I guess, yeah, we start at the very beginning. And that is starting with a plan. And I think that this is where I've fallen down multiple times in the past, and I'm very cognizant of it, and I don't want to fall down again. And so I think that, you know, learning from previous mistakes is an absolute must and a prerequisite to future domination of the world. So starting with a plan for me, first of all, is defined by a goal. And that goal for me is to grow MiniCorp successfully into New York, to make it a successful and self-sustaining arm of the business, and to take that model and to grow into multiple other cities in the future. One of the main reasons of why we use WeWork is just to facilitate this requirement, where it allows us to leverage all of the different WeWorks that are dotted all around the world in order to grow our business. And so the goal for me during this, you know, the overarching goal obviously is to grow MiniCorp into a global company. But the medium or short-term goal for this is really to gain enough business that, essentially the goal is to 3x my original investment. So what I've done is allocated a budget to gaining the first set of customers here in New York. And what I want to do is to 3x or 3x that original investment within a 6-month period. So I've given myself 6 months in order to do that and to gain as many clients, relationships, everything as I possibly can. But within 6 months, I have defined what my budget is, and I want to 3x that by pure clients within New York. And I think, you know, having something very simplistic as that, as the plan, defined KPI, it's obtainable, it's measurable. Everything within that is a really, I would say, simplistic plan. And because of that, there's no margin for error or misconstruing the plan in any shape or form. So that kind of leads me on to the next point, and that is now that I've defined or set what the plan is going to be, it's now moving into the execution. And I guess really it comes into two things. First of all, defining the strategy and how I'm going to obtain that goal, and then executing on that strategy. So I think a big lesson here, and it's something that I've learned from Europe as well, and that's the cultural diversification of different cities. For example, how you come at gaining customers in Paris is substantially different to how you come at gaining customers in London or Dublin. There's just different nuances, like different ways in how cities work, how people in those cities are, their culture, their reaction to different things. Like you need to be completely aware of these. So my first goal was really to understand and get as much advice on the current market situation here in New York. So what I did was go out into all of the networks that I have and all of the people that I know who have done business here in New York before, and ask them, you know, what was it like? What were the pain points? What were the good things, the bad things, and everything that kind of sits in between? And gaining as much advice and information from them as I possibly could in order to get a good understanding of what the culture is like here. Big things that came out is, so contracts and legality is a huge item here. And I think it's because, you know, it's very much, what's the best way to describe this? Anyone can live that American dream, I guess. And what that means is that everyone can start from nothing and turn themselves into hugely successful people. But because of that, there's a lot of people who sue each other here. There's a lot of legality and lawyers and issues and everything that kind of surrounds that whole thing. And so people are very, very aware that they need to protect themselves as much as they can. So what I've noticed is, if you want to get a contract signed here, so in B2B, you'll never see any contract moving quicker than 2 weeks. In some other smaller contracts, it may go faster, but every single contract is sense-checked or double-checked with a lawyer before anybody will move forward with it at all, which is nuts. Like, a lot of our contracts in MiniCorp, they're written in extreme plain English because the early-stage companies and startups that we work with may not have a huge amount of, you know, legal or professional services available to them. We don't want our contracts to hinder them, so we write them in extremely plain English and don't use any legalese in order to just make things as fair and transparent for both parties as possible. That said, here that just doesn't work. They want to make sure that, you know, that they're being protected, there's nothing crazy in the contract, that they can run their business successfully. And there's nothing that contract says that's going to hinder them from doing that or leave them open to any sort of lawsuit in the future. Number two is that they are amazingly brand focused. So you'll have the likes of Casper and Allbirds and these B2C products that are coming out of New York, where the VCs behind them will ask those early stage companies to work with, you know, a couple of different recommended product or design or brand agencies. And the reason that they do this is because they want this whole customer orientated presence where it looks beautiful and amazing and enticing. And I think, you know, this in some sense has always been a part of MiniCorp as well, where we say, you know, the first version of Uber or the first version of Slack or the first version of Airbnb that came out in 2008, for example, if we tried to launch it with the same design aesthetic as what they got away with back then, now in 2019, it just would not be successful. There's a different level of design and polish that's required in order to build brand and trust and loyalty from customers and also from businesses as well. So I think, you know, even when you look at the history of New York, there's a lot of advertising, you know, related Don Draper-esque elements from the city. And I think there's a certain requirement or level or bar of design that's required in order to launch a product successfully. And that's not to say that the products are just for New York. You know, obviously they're global or at least American-wide brands. But still, what they tend to focus on is this really, let's say, facade or shop front that is beautifully designed, looks really, really well. But actually in the back office of that shop, there isn't really anything of substance. They're waiting for the customers to come in order to define or understand what the back office or the automation in that tech needs to be, which makes a ton of sense. But it also means that in MiniCorp, we need to either partner or to help to grow branding and identity in early stage startups in order to be successful here. And number three on understanding the market would be they're extremely leader-led. So, let's say we took a new product idea or example. Instead of you shutting the door in a whiteboard, just kind of thought process where everyone in the team is in a whiteboard room and they're brainstorming and thinking about how to tackle or how to develop a solution for the problem, it's different. They tend to look at multiple different industry leaders that the product may touch. And they look at how they are executing, you know, how their onboarding happens, how their business works, etc. And they look at them as the leaders in multiple different sectors. And then they pull different aspects or areas that work really well into their product. So it's almost like taking a little bit from multiple different things in order to help to build the initial concept of that first idea. I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I understand why that's done. But I also think that, you know, pure innovation and design at the very, you know, not being too heavily influenced by other competitors or industry leaders can often be a good thing and lead you to develop or design the product in a different manner rather than letting other products potentially inflect or touch on that thing, if that makes sense. Okay, then that's really it for me and kind of understanding the market and the main things that have bubbled up to the top from here so far. So the next thing that I started to think about is now that I understand how things work here in a very broad, like obviously there's a ton more for me to learn here, but the next step is how am I going to find first set of customers? So if I walk all the way back to MiniCorp in Dublin, the first challenge that we had in MiniCorp is getting our first client. Like, how do we almost kind of turn around that sign that says that our front door is now open and we're looking for the first customer to walk in the door? And I need to do that here, right? I need to find the first set of customers. So I went out there and I kind of looked at all of the current networks and people that I have. And I asked each and every single one of them to help me out and to, you know, if there's anybody that you think that MiniCorp could add significant value to in New York, would you please do me the solid of introducing me to these people? And there's been like, the response has just been so humbling and amazing. Everyone has really, really helped me to meet multiple people, really ask for nothing in return at all, and just have tried to help me to grow MiniCorp. I know that the people who are listening to this, that you guys know who you are, and thank you very much for everything. Like, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. It's been amazing to get connected with all those wonderful people. And so, yeah, using or leveraging those networks in order to help me to do two things. Number one, yes, absolutely, get introduced to different customers or potential customers and allowing me to work on those customers and turning them into actual customers, but also to build relationships. So I'm infatuated with long-term progress rather than just short-term deals and growth. So the big thing for me is, how do I build as many sustainable relationships here in New York? People who I'm building a relationship in a sense that I can help them and they can help me. They understand what I'm trying to do and I understand what they're trying to do. and it may be 20, it may be 100, it may be 1,000 coffees before it gets to a point that there's customers or something coming through on it. It may never get to that point. But you can tell that John knows Mary and Mary knows Samantha, and the more people that I know and the more people that are aware of MiniCorp, the chances or probability of MiniCorp becoming more successful is higher. The more people that are aware of it, the better it is for all of us. So focusing on building those relationships, although it can be disheartening in the short term because all of the contracts aren't falling into your lap, long term, it turns into this whole other amazing thing, much like what's happening to us in Dublin and in Europe at the moment. People are aware what MiniCorp is, the work that we've done, and the recommendations and word of mouth based on that has just been stellar and amazing. And it's just by us doing great quality work, communicating and connecting with the right people. So I'm very happy to do that here and try to meet as many people as I could. And then finally, to build golden customers. So we've acquired two customers here in New York to date, and one of which I had a full day workshop with on Monday, which was just amazing. I loved it to bits. But the first thing that I need to focus on now is, you know, going really above and beyond with these customers, turning them from standard customers to golden customers, going in for the ask, you know, asking them to recommend MiniCorp, starting that whole hub and spoke model where, you know, the more people that are seeing really good value coming from MiniCorp here, the more that they start to talk to their friends who start to talk to their friends, and this thing starts to mushroom based on the work that we've done. So it's amazing to see things starting to fall into place and us getting closer to that goal of 3xing the original investment, but it's good fun. Like, I'm enjoying it to bits. I really, really love it. There's parts that I don't like, obviously. There's parts where, you know, I have to be away from my family for a week at the moment, and that's really, really hard and hurtful. My two daughters are growing older for a week, and I won't get to see them. My wife is at home, and I miss her to bits. So there's, you know, there's different things like that that you kind of, yeah, it's hard. I think, yeah, those people that, you know, the people who listen to this and you travel a lot, I know that you get this, but it's hard. It's hard to leave your family for long periods of time. Then finally, getting in there, you know, getting that initial contract is amazing. The real sense of, okay, after all of the hard work that I've put into this, I'm finally getting somewhere. It's moving. That workshop on Monday went extremely well, of which I'm very, very proud. And now starting to do more client prospecting. So in the period of this week that I'm going to be in New York, I have 19 meetings set up. If I could get 29 or 50 during this week, I would, absolutely would. It's hard and it's tiring, but sweet God, I have to put in the work in order to reap the rewards. Like this, my dad has this saying, if it was easy, everyone would do it. And I think that that's so true. If I really want to grow a MiniCorp into New York, I need to stop crying like a little child and about the hard work that it takes. I'm not crying. I'm not saying that I'm tired. Sorry. Whoops-a-doodle. How do I make that turn off? My sincere apologies about that. I should have put that in silent. But yeah, you know what I mean? I'm not moaning about that whole thing. I'm just saying that it's a lot of work that goes in at the beginning, like any business does. And it's like MiniCorp is just a brand new company who's launching in New York for the first time. It's a lot of fun. And then finally, one of the biggest benefits that I've noticed by building here and having the team in Dublin is twofold. So when it's lunchtime in Dublin, it's morning time here. So I normally wake up here at around 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, which would be around, you know, 11 or 12 a.m. back in, so 12 p.m. back in Dublin. So that means that, you know, let's say I was a client here. First of all, I think any relationship needs to be born from face to face. So being here and having those initial meetings is just a prerequisite to doing good business. But as I go back to Dublin and sustain that relationship, the client can have, you know, that early morning meeting with me. We then go to sleep, I'd say back in Dublin. And then by the time we get to the office, we have between 9 o'clock and 12, essentially between the first half of the day, to get as much work done as possible and to leave it on the client's desk. And so the minute that they get to the office, they have this instant gratification of, that's done, MiniCorp have pushed forward whilst I was asleep. And that's a huge feeling, great feeling. But it also means for me, so from essentially from 6 a.m. till around 11 o'clock here in New York, I'm working with the team back in Dublin. And then from 11 o'clock until, you know, 7 or 8 in the evening, I'm working with as many people as I can here in New York. And it means that you're having 12 to 14 hour days, but they're massively productive. And I managed to grow both streams in parallel almost. There's a little bit of overlap, but it's kind of, it's almost perfect in a way. And that's kind of it. Like, that's where I am at the moment. I've gotten 2 clients. Things are growing really well. I'm having some really good meetings with lots of great people. And it's all going in the right direction. Not to jinx it in any way. But yeah, what I'm going to do is maybe I'll do another podcast in about a month about this specific topic to highlight the growth and how things are going on this journey and adventure. So I hope you enjoyed that, and thanks a million for listening, and I will catch you guys in the next one. Cheers.